You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. And let me say again, we love our brothers and sisters. A big hello to all of you. You know, the messages just keep coming. And it's amazing. I was going to go into something different. I had planned on one thing, and out of the blue, the Father planned on another. It's the same as the Jews. They plan on their new world order. But the Father has other plans. Yes. The title of this sermon, or this message, is called The Sermons of Hollywood. Something that Yahweh revealed to me last night is something that should have dawned on me a long time ago, but it didn't. Not in a big way. What I present to you is the fact that Hollywood has been preaching sermons to all of us since its very beginning. Not only does Hollywood preach sermons, but they brought the television to preach mini sermons. This will be exciting to you, I'm sure, as things were revealed to me, I always give them to you. Now, what's funny about the whole thing is the sermon that was preached was again about man becoming God. The sermon was given forth to me and others in a meeting where we were supposed to learn lessons that would help us become successful. The holder of the meeting is a Freemason. But I am playing along for the time being, and just like other Freemasons I've come across, whenever I try to inject a word of truth, they mock me behind my back. As I'm looking into the eyes of those I'm speaking to, behind my back, like as if I'm not supposed to know this, they mock me. Now, this is the same situation. I recognize it because it's exactly the same pattern as when I dealt with another Freemason. When you speak to them face to face, they're your friend. But they are so afraid that you're going to win somebody over to the real truth that they will mock you behind your back. But I mean right while you're standing there. You understand what I'm saying? Because they're that afraid of the truth. Something that was revealed to me just minutes ago is the fact that this is the 67th show for Saxon's Creed. As I have told you in times past, 6 and 7 equals 13, which equals man becoming God. Man perfected. 7 is the number of perfection. 6 is the number of man. Man perfected. Man becoming God. The promise from Hallel / Lucifer, whichever name you want to go by, but Hallel is the name. And he's got the word hell right in his name. Right in the name Hallel, the word hell exists. This is the promise from the garden, man becoming God. As I told you about 2001 A Space Odyssey, and I taught on that, the box, the cube, and the monolith, and all the different things that Yahweh has had me teach you throughout all my shows. And here we are again, show 67. It kind of, you know, blew me away. Because I didn't plan it. It wasn't like I said, well, let me do this. Let me see which show is 67, and let's do that one about man becoming God. No, it just happened. You see, but it really didn't just happen. Yahweh planned it. I had plans, and he had plans. Guess whose plans will supersede mine and the Jews? Yes, Yahweh's plans will supersede mine. And thank Yahweh for that, because he's a heck of a lot smarter than I'll ever be. So, at the meeting, we were to watch a movie called Peaceful Warrior. Where do you get a load of this? Okay. It kind of blew my mind, because I knew right away that this, I just kind of knew, I could feel it coming. Let me just put it to you that way. You see, a Jew wrote a book named The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. A book that changes lives, ladies and gentlemen. Changes lives, this book. Now, so the movie comes on, and basically what you see is you see the Jew actor. Now, I knew he was a Jew. His nose is shaved or whatever, or it hasn't grown out yet. But he's got that same Jew look. And as everybody's watching the movie, they're being entertained, and I am taking mental note. We were also told to take notes of the movie. You see, because the Freemason wanted me to believe in this. Now, it's not that there are no principles in the movie that one could take as, well, that's interesting, that could be good for you. But what happens is this. The Jew, Peaceful Warrior book is written by a Jew named Dan Millman. He was an athlete. An athlete who broke his leg in a car accident. And he came back to win the Olympic gold. It was done, ladies and gentlemen, by the strength of him that was inside of himself. Yes, I'm giving you a nice little clue. You see, the strength was inside him. He was looking to the outside. He didn't know what to do. But things weren't working out that well for him in the movie. Now, just, you know, I told you a Jew plays him in the movie, and I'll tell you his name in a minute, because I might as well tell you right now. I have a little article right here it's called Celebrity Jews from jweekly.com, and it says, Buff Jew plays Buff Jew. They love to compliment one another. The Peaceful Warrior, a film that opened on June 2nd, didn't get very good reviews. And you'll probably have to wait for the DVD if you don't see it soon. But the flick does have a couple of things to recommend it. Warrior marks the first starring role for hunky Jewish actor Scott Melklowitz, 25. Scott modestly told a reporter that he's an unathletic Jewish kid and that he had to train hard to play a gymnast in Warrior. Remember I told you that actor means slave? I want you to remember that. Okay, so the movie is based on a quasi-autobiography by Dan Millman, a Jewish guy who was a top UC Berkeley gymnast in the 60s and is now a new agey human potential guru. Get it? Melkowitz, or whatever his name is, plays Millman, and Warrior has novelty value as the first major motion picture ever in which a Jewish actor stars as a real-life Jewish athlete. Well, I can tell you why that is. Because Jews are not warriors. You can tell by the name of the book, Peaceful Warrior. See, this is to teach the Jews. When this sermon is being preached by Hollywood, when I watched this sermon and it was preached to me, this is being preached to the Jews as well. It is to tell them that you are silent warriors. You're not warriors like the white race, like the Adamic race. They're the great warriors. We all know that. They always have been. They always will be. But you Jews, peacefully in the background, are warring against them. And you're winning. All you have to do is find the strength that's inside of you. This is Eastern philosophy. Okay? You see that it opposes the Bible, where we find our strength in Yahweh. We get our righteousness from Yahweh. When we speak the truth and wield the sword of truth, that truth is not our truth, that is Yahweh's truth. We just wield it and have the privilege of wielding it. The glory goes to Yahweh for all things. And the very show I was going to do today speaks on this exact same manner. And I've already spoken to you several times on this manner. When we saw King Nebuchadnezzar, he began to think that his greatness came from him, that his nation came from him, that his kingdom was his, that he forged it out of the rock of the mountains. When in fact, the lesson of the book of Daniel, which after I gave that lesson about Daniel, many people said to me, I've seen that book for years and years and years, and I've never seen it as clear as I do now. That's because I told you I'm the clarifier. Am I a great man? No. Yahweh is doing it. Do you understand? He has orchestrated these shows as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how I'm doing all this. I'm not saying I'm possessed. I'm saying that he orchestrated it. He took an ordinary man to deliver the message. Just like he did with Moses and many other men. So the Jew is preaching to the Jew that you are a peaceful warrior and you must train to be a warrior. A warrior that's invisible. Do you understand peaceful? If you're a peaceful warrior, nobody knows you're fighting, right? If you're a peaceful warrior, there's no evidence to lay it on you that you're a warrior. But your fellow compadres and your father Lucifer, Halel, knows you're a warrior. The rest of the Jews know they're warriors. But they're not warriors in the sense of really being a warrior. This is just, they're cheaters. They stole our money. It's not because they're smarter than us. And they certainly could never. The military of Israel is useless. I don't care how much money you throw at it. They don't qualify. They're probably one of the worst militaries in the world. Because they're not warriors. They're cowards. So, let me start off at the beginning of the movie. This fellow, his name is Dan in the movie, Scott Melkowitz. And he wakes up and he's going to go out and do his jogging at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, he's training to be an athlete. So he comes upon this service station. And he walks up to the service station and there's a man in there. And it just happens to be Nick Nolte. Now, Nick Nolte begins to impart to him, slow but sure, through different visits, this Eastern mysticism. What's funny about the whole thing is that if you didn't understand it was Eastern mysticism, you saw him eating with chopsticks and a woman named Joy, who became his wife later. She kind of looked like a crossbreed of Asian and white. Her name was Joy. Joy is a word that the Asians love, and they always use that word, joy. So it's a clue. However, he was down in the station where the cash register is, this Nick Nolte character. And then when the character went outside, he looked up on the roof and there was Nick Nolte. But there wasn't enough time for him to get up there. And he wanted to know how he did that. And so what happens is, the relationship continues. And he tells him, Nick Nolte, whom he calls Socrates, but I'll tell you who it really is. He tells him many things that contradict other things, you see, paradoxes. But he does give some compelling advice. And when you see, he tells him at one point to take the trash out. And what he's saying is, take the trash out of your mind. One of the things that Eastern philosophies tell you to do is to empty yourself. Same thing as yoga, which is very dangerous for our women. They target white women for yoga, in case you haven't noticed. And the Eastern mysticism tells you to empty yourself. Take the trash out, so to speak. Empty yourself and begin to concentrate. Or, you see, what I tell people is when people tell you to empty yourself, that means you're emptying yourself so that you can allow someone to come in to yourself. Do you understand? Remember in Freemasonry, the helper, the brother. As you're going through the lodge, you're asking for more light as you're becoming a God-man, man perfected, an intellectual wizard. You see? That's just how it is. They empty themselves, and each one of the degrees they go up, when they reach a certain level, they're taking on a helper. And they tell them in the Masonic book, I read it to you, that this helper is like a brother. He's making you stronger. it's usually an angelic being that's going to come within you and stay within you or around you. But the book says within you. So that you're becoming spiritually stronger because you're adding entities to yourself. Entities that have been around longer than you. Entities that can give you advice. Entities that can strengthen you, make you more than the regular man. You understand what I'm telling you? They also concentrate on the fact that your strength comes from within you. You remember what I just said, didn't you? You heard what I just said. That Yahweh tells us that He is our strength. That He is our buckler and our shield. He is our righteousness. No, I have no righteousness of my own. No, I have strength, but nothing compared to the strength of Yahweh. One of the things the Freemason says over and over to me is that hope is the language of the poor. Do you understand about devils? And as I was speaking with Yahweh, yet He doesn't speak out loud, He just speaks through my mind. I don't know how to explain it to you. It's not a literal voice that you hear, it's just thoughts that go through your head. Or at least that's what I have heard Him many, many, many years ago where He rebuked me. But I don't really hear Him. Like, so I'm not hearing voices, so you don't have to worry if I'm crazy or not. Oh, my goodness. One of the things, so with hope, think about something Yahweh taught me last night about hope, charity, and love. These are three wonderful things, correct? Now, hope is something that you are to receive something. You're hoping to receive. This is what He taught me. I'm telling you, this is kind of mind-blowing. Hope is something that we have. It's something that helps us to get through a time until we receive what we have hoped for. Charity is mostly something you give. You can receive charity too. But love is something that you both receive and give. Just an interesting thought. And it kind of was, I was very, I thought that was very interesting. This man speaks of hope as if it's hopeless. Now, back to the station. Nick Nolte's in the station, and he tells this so-called warrior that service is what it's all about. See, he's working in a service station. And to serve is what it's all about. I tell you, my mind was going. I'm saying, oh boy, I know. I can see this miles away. On several levels. At one point in the movie, Nick Nolte goes to the gym. And he's way up in the rafters because somehow he knows how to do that, you see. So he tells the warrior, so to speak, Dan, to come up there. So Dan climbs up the rope and gets all the way up there. And as they're up there, he's allowing Dan, the warrior, to hear the thoughts of the other men in the gym, his other teammates. And they were saying negative things about themselves. And he was amazed that he could hear their thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, think about what I'm telling you. Who is this Nick Nolte in the movie? We have a Jewish warrior whose father is Hillel. We have Freemasonic principles going on in the movie. We have Eastern mysticism going on in the movie. Yahweh is nowhere to be found in the movie. Who is Nick Nolte in this movie? You see, he guides this warrior and strengthens him, this peaceful warrior. Now, number one, as I told you before, the reason why this is a novelty thing, because the value of the first major motion picture ever in which a Jewish actor stars as a real-life Jewish athlete is because there's no such thing as a Jewish warrior. You see, this is a one in a trillion type thing. Because if it wasn't, they'd be doing this all the time. So they're teaching what they're teaching the regular public and what they're teaching the Jewish warrior and their father is two different things here. See, it's a sermon not only for you, dear listener, as is all those movies, as are all those movies. But this is also a sermon for Esau Edom, for the Jews. So who is this Dan warrior? He's one of the warriors of Esau Edom. He's fighting the fight that was proclaimed in the garden by Yahweh. Yahweh proclaimed one war in the garden. So he is a participant in that war against the Adamic race, the white race. But who is Nick Nolte? Now, I will tell you that at near the end of the movie, when he's going to go to the place where he's going to compete in the U.S. Olympics, he goes to see him in the daytime, and when he goes there, Nick Nolte's no longer there. And now the station has become a self-service station, and there's just some guy there who doesn't know who Nick Nolte is or was or Socrates, whatever they want to call him. He's just disappeared. I'll tell you who it is. You see, it represents several things. Number one, Nick Nolte is Hillel. He's the father. He is the devil. And they love to show him and cast him in a good light, let's say. He's only service. His only thing is to help people, service people, fix their vehicles, fill their gas, helps this warrior. All he does is good things. Till later when he does something else. However, what it represents in the lodge The worshipful master represents Lucifer himself. You see, when you're going up the degrees to become a god, you're asking the worshipful master for more light, more understanding, more intellect. You understand what I'm telling you? Are you hearing what I'm telling you? So the worshipful master in a lodge represents Lucifer himself, which is known as the spiritual king of the world. And when you reach the 33rd degree, you become linked with the spiritual king of the world, which is Halel, Lucifer. Lucifer is just a Latinized version of Halel. You see, because he is the angel of light, he was what known as a morning star. Like Yeshua was known as a morning star. It's a title. When you see Halel, he's known as the light bringer. And so when you're going to the lodge and you wish to become more illuminated, you ask the worshipful master who represents the life giver, the light bringer, for more light, as I said. So think about what I was saying. As a person who's going through the degrees, you only have so much light. But when you bring a bright spirit inside of you, you are now glowing potentially twice as much at least. Correct? See, what I'm telling you is not just a bunch of horse manure. I bought the books. I read the books. I know what the books say. I don't care what Freemason comes on and says on the video that Freemasonry is not a religion. Of course it's a religion. You go to the temple. All of those books tell you Freemasonry is a religion. I don't care what Freemasons have to say. Freemasons are arrogant. They believe that you are, that the public is a bunch of idiots, and that they have all the intellectual accoutrements they need, that they are where it's at intellectually, that they know it all, because they've been given the light from the light bearer. So Nick Nolte represents this light bearer. How do I know that? Well, when he was up on the rafters and he asked the warrior to come up there, it was the same thing as showing Yeshua on the top of the roof, the kingdoms of the world. Do you understand? Now, he says some things that are very wrong. He says wisdom is doing. These are the messages that are being preached in the sermons of Hollywood, that wisdom is doing. But the Bible tells me that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of Yahweh. The fear of God, that's the beginning of wisdom. See, and I liken it like this. We learn a lot of knowledge because we know that Yahweh said, "My people perish because of the lack of knowledge." So as we learn the knowledge that we learn, that Yahweh allows us to learn, and helps us to connect the dots. I say that wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's how to use the knowledge. Whereas the devil in the movie said wisdom is doing. Empty your mind so somebody can come in you. Take out the trash of your mind. See, the message of the movie and the message that the Freemason wanted me to get out of the movie was the fact that if you believe you can do something, you can. But if you don't believe you can do something, you can't. There's no other factor there. In other words, if I'm trying to do something and it's against Yahweh's will and he does not bless me, it's not because Yahweh doesn't want me to do something. It's because I can't do it, because I don't believe I can do it. You see, it's all this positive thinking that the devil himself preaches to his children. I told you about the devil's 5-point plan, how he would be like the Most High, how he would rise up and sit in the congregation of the North. You know the 5-point plan. He was very positive about that. Yet, I don't care how positive you are. As I said in the beginning of the message, Halel has his plan and his children have their plan, but Yahweh has his plan. And I guarantee you that Yahweh's plan will supersede every plan. I don't care who you are. So this devil, who's teaching him Eastern philosophy, is teaching him Freemasonic principles, is strengthening him and teaching him that you must live for the moment. I want you to pay attention to what I'm telling you right now. He's telling him that don't think about anything else. When you're in the moment, just live in that very moment. He says most people don't ever live their lives. Live in that moment. Be that moment. You know, it's the same old crap that you saw with David Carradine on television. It's the same sermon. Ah, grasshopper. You know, one of the guys at the meeting said that, and he was thinking, there's no doubt about it, because he recognized it for what it really was. Another thing that happened was he rebelled against Lucifer, against Halel. He got tired of it. He had told him not to have women, that you had to concentrate, that a warrior does what he loves. A warrior does not do the will of Yahweh. He didn't say that, but he is saying that. A warrior does what he loves, is what he said. So he's encouraging him to go on with this athletic stuff that's going on. As you see this, you begin to see how it's distorted thinking. You begin, what it reminded me of exactly is the fact when Dave was going down the corridors of light, as I told you on a previous show, in the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey. See, there were people that died during that mission because they weren't qualified to become God. But Dave was qualified. And Dave was going through the corridors of distorted light. remember that I told you that the light bearer is distorted light. It's not the light of truth. It's not the pure light. It's corrupted light. There are many kinds of light around you. And if you were to put glasses on that had certain colors on them, you would understand that you would see in different spectrums of light, but you would not be seeing in the proper spectrum of light. You would be seeing a distorted. That's one of the things the 60s was all about. So as Dave went through the corridors of light, these are the degrees. He's moving up in the degrees, and he's getting more and more light as he's going through the degrees on his way to become a god. This is exactly what's being talked about in this movie. Finally, Dave does become a god. He becomes man perfected. The monolith had shown up, and he was dying in the bed, and it was imparting to him the intellect that he needed. And he was born again in an egg as a child, and he was a god. So when you're going to watch your Hollywood movies and watch your television, you have no idea what's being preached to you. It is a literal sermon. That's the thing that Yahweh made me realize. You're actually going to church. Only this is the church of the devil, the same way as Freemasonry is the church of the devil. So if you're going to regular church one day a week, and you're getting the Jewish version of Christianity with this fake Jewish Jesus hippie who loves queers and everything else, you're never getting the truth. You're being bombarded from so many places on how to shape your mind, how you get your reference, where you got your frame of reference from, is where I told you you got it from. If you're not turning off Talmud Vision and you're not turning off Hollywood and the media and getting your truth from Yahweh himself, all you're getting is distorted light, distorted knowledge from Halel and his children, and from these Freemasonic grafted-in goats, as I told you exactly what they are. I've tried to speak to this man about Yahweh. He doesn't want... The door is closed. Okay, something else that I will bring up about this, and there's several things to talk about here on this. The warrior says to Halel, or if you want to call him Socrates, he says, "Why did you choose me?" And Socrates says, or Halel says, "Don't flatter yourself." In other words, what he's implying is that the warrior chose him. And that's true. The Jews did choose Halel as their god. You know it, and I know it. See, it's very different in the kingdom of Yahweh. When we preach the kingdom, you think that you came and said a prayer and that you chose Yahweh and that he was sitting out there waiting for you to come choose him. But in reality, as you can see in my own case, he chose me. See, he's the one that's in control. But with this devil, when he is the mentor of this warrior, when the warrior says, "Why did you choose me?" he said, "Don't flatter yourself." You see, he's on such a heavy ego trip, this devil. He told him, "I chose you. I mean, you chose me." You understand what I'm saying? You see how it's the opposite of the father? "Why did you choose me?" says the warrior to the devil. The devil said, "Don't flatter yourself. You chose me." Now, let me read you a couple of things here about this movie. I already told you about the buff Jew. I'm going to get rid of that. All right, this is just a brief little thing here. It says right on Amazon.com. During his junior year at University of California, while training to become a world champion gymnast, Dan Millman stumbled on a 94-year-old mentor named Socrates, a powerful, unpredictable, and elusive character. He taught a way to maximize performance using a unique blend of Eastern philosophy and Western fitness to cultivate the true essence of a champion. The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. Millman's first-person account of this odyssey into the realms of life. See, odyssey? Get it again? 2001, A Space Odyssey into the realms of... Now listen again. Listen right now. Millman's first-person account of his odyssey into the realms of light, darkness, mind, body, and spirit has become an international bestseller about the universal quest for happiness. Now, I want to start right there. You see, one of the things that happened during the movie is that Hillel, or the worshipful master, or Socrates, says to him one day, "I think you're now ready. This is something I wanted to show you for a while." And he takes him on a journey all the way up a mountain. And when they reached the top of the mountain, he said, "We've made it." And he shows him a rock that's next to his foot. And he says, "That's what we came to see." And he was disappointed. And he said, and the devil said to him, "Well, I'm sorry that you're not happy." And as they were going up this journey, he told them about three things. Okay, and I'll tell you about that right here. During his junior year, well, let me just finish that. He tells them that life is about three things. Those three things are paradox, humor, and change. Who loves change but the devil's children and the devil? What is a paradox? However, before I get into those three words, what we'll do here is what he went on is what's known as a quest, as you just heard. You see, that's what Freemasonry is. That's what Percival did in the Knights. He went on a quest for the golden chalice, for the cup that was from the Last Supper. All Freemasons are going on a quest. But you see, what is taught in the movie is not important what the end of the quest is, whether it's gold or whatever it is. It's all about the journey. It's all about the quest to becoming God, you see. You see, when you climb the mountain, the best part about it is climbing the mountain. When you get to the top, there's only one place to go from there, and that's down. So when they reached the top and he saw this little rock that he was talking about, he was disappointed. All that climbing, all that everything to find a little rock. You see, it's not about what's at the end of the quest for the warrior. It's about the quest or the journey itself. So let's look into the word paradox. A paradox. He told him that life is about three things: about paradox, humor, and change. A paradox is a statement that, despite apparently sound reasoning from true premises, leads to a self-contradictory or logically unacceptable conclusion. Some logical paradoxes are known to be invalid arguments, but are still valuable in promoting critical thinking. This is intellect. And what he said next was that you have to keep a sense of humor about yourself. But thirdly, change. It was important to be able to be susceptible to change. You see, you've got to learn to take out the trash. You can't be hoping. You've got to make it happen with your will, with your strength that's inside of you. You understand? You don't need God. You don't need anything outside of you to help you get where you need to go. All you need is already within you. Everything you've always needed your whole life comes from within you, especially after you have those helpers inside of you. Are you hearing me? Can you believe it? Now let's listen to this, the definition of change. Now we know that the Pope says that Yahweh has changed now. He loves homosexuals. That he loves communists even. That he loves everything. He believes that whatever the human race, if you want to call it the human race, whatever the world turns into, Yahweh will also change with it. He loves gay marriage now, Yahweh does. You do know that, right? And you know he loves the sinner, but not the sin. But he's no longer a God that will chastise anybody because he doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You see, the world's evolved into feelings, as I keep on talking about. So, before I go into this change, let me explain to you something about this Eastern philosophy. You see, you're supposed to learn to let things go. That's trash. If you've hurt somebody, just let it go. Don't go apologize to them and try to fix the thing like the Bible would tell you to do. Just let it go. Learn to let things go. But also, your feelings are a very important part of your success, according to the devil in this movie. Now, isn't it funny? I've been telling you that that's what the devil and his children, that Hillel and his literal offspring, the Jews, that that's what they do. That's what they use to manipulate us. That's what they use to, that's, it's inside of us. That's what they used against Eve and all women. They can constantly use it. And now they're trying to make men into little women creatures so that we can all be manipulated through our feelings the same way as the women are. Now, we know the blacks are all about feelings. That's all feelings. All you have to do is look at them the wrong way or say some word, they may be anything, and they will just attack because they are moved by their feelings. Oh, they're just, that's what they have in common with our women. It's all feelings. Now, don't get mad. I'm not talking about our women who have control over their feelings or our women who are godly women. Let's not go there again. I know you women, sooner or later you're going to realize I'm not talking about you. Don't take it for you. These feelings have become very dangerous. The importance of feelings is very dangerous. It is something that's being used against you and I, against the world, against our own selves, in the sense of we're being destroyed by thinking our feelings are so important when they're not. Our feelings are something we're supposed to have control over. We are supposed to have control over our vessel. Oh, everyone goes off the track once in a great while. It depends how many times you're poked. But the devil and his children are teaching you to just completely go out of control at any time. It doesn't matter what causes it. If you've hurt my feelings, I have now license to kill, license to maim, license to destroy. If you've hurt my feelings. Well, I've already explained that. But this is what the devil is teaching is important to this warrior. Let's go to the word change. To cause to turn or pass from one state to another. Listen to that. See, you never think of the word change, do you? Isn't that what Obama had preached? He preached all the change and how it was going to be wonderful for us. Has it been wonderful? No, it hasn't been. Has the nation turned from one state to another? Yes, it has. Has the nation been altered to make different, to vary in external form or in essence? Oh, yes, it has. Has this change been good? This is one of the principles, the three most important things in the world. Paradox, which I already read you, humor, and change. Humor is also a feeling, is it not? Humor is something that Yahweh doesn't particularly take too much kindness to. He's a little more serious and doesn't like too much joking around, you see? Foolishness. However, change. We know, as I was saying, the Pope has said that Yahweh has changed, that he's now perpetually changing. He changes with how our society changes. He's no longer a God that is going to chastise anybody or judge anybody for that matter. He loves queers. Now, if you believe that, you have to be a class A1 idiot. Because we know that the Bible tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, he has not changed. No, he does not change with how we are. He is the same. He is a rock, a foundation. The foundation stands firm. He is our foundation. So the devil and his children, they come to bring change. This is an important part of this devil's philosophy. To cause to turn or pass from one state to another. To alter. To make different or make different. To vary in external form or in essence. As to change the color or shape of a thing. Can you say chameleon? Are his children not the chameleons of every nation in the world? Pretending that they are white, pretending that they are Mexicans, as I've shown you. There's even Chinese Jews, there's black Jews, Mexican Jews, white Jews. We got them everywhere. To change the color or shape of a thing, to change the countenance, to change the heart of life. Second definition, to put one thing in the place of another. Hello. Are you hearing? Are you hearing today, ladies and gentlemen? Are you listening? Are you connecting the dots? To change the clothes. Be clean and change your garments. Today, instead of the white garments that Yahweh will have us be in, we have changed our garments as change has come upon us. Third definition, to quit one thing or state for another, followed by four. As persons educated in a particular religion do not readily change it for another, but this devil's religion does. To give and take reciprocally, as will you change conditions with me? To barter, to exchange goods, to change a coach for a chariot. To quit. As one place for another. As to change lodgings. Lodgings, get it? Will you quit Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen? And will you join the Lightbringer and his devil children and the grafted in goats and join the lodge? Will you desire, do you desire to become a god? Will you quit Yahweh and begin to live this Eastern philosophy that is being preached to you over and over and over and over again without you even knowing that it's happening to you? You don't even know it's being preached. You don't know that you're going to church. They found a way to get you to come and sit in the pew, which is your couch, or the movie theater. You gave your donation on the way in the door, either at the movie theater or when you paid your cable bill. And now we don't have to pass around the plate. You've already paid, but you're going to pay in so many other ways too. After you change and after you subliminally adhere to Eastern philosophies. After all, the Pope said all religions stem from the same place and the God is the same in all religions. This new Pope is quite an affirmative action idiot. He's a Jew. Now listen to version 7. This is 7 of change. Who does this sound like? To give one kind of money for another. Who does that sound like? No wonder they love this word change. To give one kind of money for another. to alter the form or kind of money by receiving the value in a different kind. As to change banknotes for silver, or to give pieces of larger denominations for an equivalent in pieces of a smaller denomination, as to change an eagle for dollars, or a sovereign for sixpences, or to change a dollar into cents, or on the other hand, to change dollars or into eagles, giving money of smaller denomination for larger. But with these Jews, it is that you're giving, you know, when they say bring your gold in exchange for money. Guess who's the sucker in that deal? Because the money that you have, in other words, it says right here, to give one kind of money for another, you are working your work week, all week long, and you are given something that you're told is money. But it is a debt note. It's not money at all. Yet you play along with this game because you're able to take that money and spend it and actually get something for it, or else you wouldn't continue to play along with the game. However, that money is losing value all the time. It's happening every day, and you don't see it happening because it's invisibly done. It's change. You see, that's another thing, is when you give your money, you get change back, you see? The change that Obama has done to this country has left you, instead of with lots of money in your pocket, well, fake money, but it has left you now with change in your pocket, if you're lucky to even have change. That's another thing change is. It's money. That's why it's one of the most important things to Jews, you see. Humor. Humor is something that the devil uses to destroy his children. You said they mock things. That's what I told you. The Freemason is mocking. When I give nuggets of truth to the people, they mock you behind your back so that they will steal those nuggets of truth from the people because they'll think, well, don't listen to this guy. See what I mean? They're afraid of the truth. Humor is used to destroy. Humor is something that can make you feel good, but humor is also something that is used to change. It is a paradox in its own self. Number 8, to become acid or tainted, to turn from a natural state of sweetness and purity. That's part of change. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? This is the 8th definition. To become acid or tainted. To turn from a natural state of sweetness and purity. As the wine is changed, thunder and lightning are said to change milk. To change a horse or to change hand is to turn or bear the horse's head from one hand to the other, from the left to the right, or from the right to the left. Change. Ladies and gentlemen, this definition 8, you see why they love change? You see why this was preached as one of the most 3 important things in life on the journey, as he was being taught this on the journey? The paradox, the humor, which is used to destroy, the paradox is also used to destroy as well. Because it's an intellectual thing. It's a way to argue. The problem with the devil and his children is they and Freemasons, the grafted in goats, is why they mock me when I say the truth is because they will never, ever try to get in a situation where you debate them with the truth. See, it is not your truth, ladies and gentlemen. It is Yahweh's truth. He is the author of truth. He is the author and finisher of our faith as well. See, you didn't choose him. He was the author of your faith. And you're not going to finish it yourself. He is. He is the author and finisher of your faith. So, again, before I go from this, he's teaching me as we go right along here. I didn't know this was here. Change, the eighth definition, to become acid or tainted, to turn from a natural state of sweetness and purity as the wine is changed. Who makes things pure? Why, it's Yahweh himself. He told us not to race mix, because that corrupts and that changes the natural state, does it not? That changes the natural state of purity. When you see these hybrid Negroes, hybrid Jews, hybrid Mexicans, hybrid Muslims, and even hybrid white people, they're literally crazy. They're tainted. They've become acid, which means that they're no longer in the state of purity. They're no longer in their natural state as Yahweh has made them. The wine is changed. In the same way as our state changes from being the child or the children of the flame, when Yahweh says we are new wine in new bottles. You understand what I'm telling you? Are you hearing what Yahweh is telling you in reality? Because I did not orchestrate this. I did not study for hours to bring this to you. The devil preached a sermon to me. And Yahweh used this devil's sermon to teach you something about what's being done to you. You think you're going to watch a movie. You think you're going to be entertained. But you're being indoctrinated. Your frame of reference is becoming changed. You're becoming acid or tainted, because you're being turned from the natural state that Yahweh made you in, of the sweetness and purity of your race. And you are being poisoned in your mind. You're being poisoned in your body. You're being poisoned in your spirit. You're being poisoned in your knowledge. You're being poisoned in your perceptions. Poisoned in your perception of the truth. Poisoned in your perception of the world. What are you doing here? Why are you here in this game? What is your purpose here? That's one thing I always love to ask people. I told you my purposes. You know how many people I've said, what is your purpose? I don't have one. Well, how sorry are you? So let me go back to this now. I have to say that was the definition of change, which was gotten from, you always want to use 1828's dictionary, Webster's dictionary. It's very, very interesting. So So let's listen to this review. During his junior year at the University of California, Dan Millman first stumbled upon his mentor named Socrates at an all-night gas station. At the time, Millman hoped to become a world champion gymnast. To survive the lessons ahead, you're going to need far more energy than ever before. Socrates warned him that night, you must cleanse your body of tension. Free your mind of stagnant knowledge. I hope you're listening. And open your heart. Listen. Open your heart to the energy of true emotion. This is the devil preaching to you right here. I told you that the devil and his children use energy, the energy of emotion, against us. They use news stories to get us to focus on a certain place in the world. It's the universal mind. It's like when everybody says, let's have a moment of silence, and they concentrate on one thing. This is not biblical. This is the devil teaching you how to be successful in his world, or how to be defeated in his world. As I've told many people, when you see the series called Cops on television, what they do there is they teach you how to give up your rights. That's the purpose of the show. Yes, you heard me right. The purpose of the show, Cops, is to teach you how to give up your rights. Now, I want you to listen to this again now, because this is the devil's theory. Socrates warned him that night, you must cleanse your body of tension. Free your mind of stagnant knowledge. Stagnant. Let's look up the word stagnant just for giggles. Now, I know what stagnant means, but we may find out it means a lot more than we think. Stagnant would be something that doesn't change, I would think, right? Let's okay, let's see here. Stagnant. Okay. Not flowing, not running in a current or stream. As a stagnant lake or pond, stagnant blood in the veins, motionless, still, not agitated, as water, quiet and stagnant. The gloomy slumber of the stagnant soul, not active, dull, as opposed to bright, you understand what I mean? Dull, bright, light, Lucifer. Not brisk, as business is stagnant. Okay, so let's go on, right? So he tells them, again, you must cleanse your body of tension, free your mind of stagnant knowledge, and listen, most importantly, and open your heart to the energy of true emotion. From there, the unpredictable Socrates proceeded to teach Millman the way of the peaceful warrior. At first, Socrates, or Hillel, shattered every preconceived notion that Millman had about academics, athletics, and achievement. But eventually, Millman stopped resisting the lessons and began to try on a whole new ideology. What did I tell you about ideology? That ideology does not ever translate. I can't say never, but it doesn't usually translate to reality. When you have the ideology of communism, or you have the ideology of liberalism, it sounds like Well, it could be. It's very paradoxical. It sounds that it could be a good thing, possibly. But when it really translates, as I have told you in the past, it doesn't translate that way in the reality sphere. So he began to try on a whole new ideology, one that valued being conscious over being smart, and strength in spirit over strength in body. Although the character of the cigarette-smoking Socrates seemed like a fictional modern-day Merlin, Milman asserts that he is based on an actual person. Certain male readers especially appreciate the coming of age theme, the haunting love story with the elusive woman Joy, and the challenging of Western beliefs, you see? The challenging. What are Western beliefs? Beliefs in Yeshua. Beliefs in Yahweh. Beliefs in the scriptures. This is a challenge to that. Do you see what the Freemason wanted me to learn? Oh, there were a few things that relate. There were many levels to what this all is when I told you that not only is Socrates Hillel, but Socrates is the worshipful master of the lodge, or he is the Freemasonic mentor. Says here in one review, the book is so appealing, commented Virginia Satir, a woman, because it provided an easy access for people to naturally identify, connect, and be in touch with the spiritual part of themselves. Indeed, the way of the peaceful warrior does that with its piercing truths, lively narrative, and humorous wisdom. Wisdom, humorous. Like Castaneda, it enables the reader to reflect in the deepest questions of life. Yet, unlike Don Juan, it spotlights the path to a happy, uncomplicated life without dependency on drugs. You see, he was told to let everything go. That's what Zen is all about. Learning to let things go. Here's another one. So here's my experience with the book. I first purchased this when I was 15. And to tell you the truth, I don't recall why. Oh yeah, I remember this guy says that it has changed his life. You see, he is now changed by this. He is now going towards Eastern philosophy as opposed to staying with his Western roots, you see. He is going to change. Well, I don't have time to read any more about that particular, about any more, I'm running out of time, folks. Aren't we all? Now, one thing I want to tell you that I found there, I'm going to tell you about something that happened at the end of the movie now. When he went to the Olympics, this is the crux, this is the key, this is what I knew was happening. You see, when he injured his leg, he had a cane. And he went to the top of a building and he met himself, which shows the dualistic principles of life, the Kabbalah, equilibrium from Freemasonry. He was contemplating killing himself. But his dualistic self saved him from that. The Kabbalah is in this. Eastern mysticism, Zen, the devil, his children, lie after lie that's called truths. When he went, and these are rings that these athletes go on. And they're circular rings, and they were white. At the end of the movie, before he went to jump up on the rings, they took the cane and put it up on the rings. Ladies and gentlemen, what I said was, I knew it. Two ball cane. Two balls and a cane. 007 is two ball cane. Two ball cane has everything to do with Freemasonry. He's the offspring of Cain. Tubal Cain was always a secret word in Freemasonry. Two balls and a cane. Nobody else in the room, I don't believe, except the Freemasons and witches that I... they know what I was talking about when I mentioned Tubal Cain. Thanks be to Yahweh that he allows me to see that I'm able to understand the sermons of the devil and not take them as sermons that are good for me or sermons that will help me. They're sermons of destruction, sermons to my enemy and their father, to glorify my enemy and their father. Last thing I'm going to tell you is, the name Gavri in Hebrew, which is a variant spelling of, it's G-A-V-R-I-E. The Hebrew spelling is, it's a variant, G-A-V-R-I, meaning man of God or warrior of God. Warrior. Gavri, what it is in the Bible, Gavri is the name of the father of Tubal Cain. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Do you see how the devil is preaching to you? The sermons that his children are preaching, the sermons to not only the offspring of the devil and themselves to strengthen themselves, but they're also luring you away from the Father. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. This is called theosophy. And how I knew this was at the end, and I'm going to get to the Wizard of Oz for you. I promised you I will, and I will when I'm able. The end of the movie of the Wizard of Oz, Frank L. Baum was a theosophist, and it's the same exact message here, that you don't need to go outside of yourself to solve the problems that you have. You don't need any God in heaven. All you need is in your own backyard. All the problems that you have can be solved from within you. You need no God at all. These are the sermons of the devil. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.